The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them sit-ins. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up and you did it. And they just turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know the pain, the government was slinging out the old chain.
Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is April 7th, 2016. We want to start out on the show. Just want to focus on politics because we do focus a lot on politics because we're not really in the black community getting the right information that we need. When we rely on white people's papers, as H.Rap Brown called it, and white corporations that, you know, they have their own interests. And I'll be darned if they're going to use their own platform to work against their own political interests. So that's why I think it's important that we have independent black people who are not dependent upon a paycheck to have a program on white people's platforms and what have you. Because you're not going to get perhaps how that black person really feels about the issue. And then some of them will even go against, they don't even view themselves as belonging to the black voting bloc. So today I'm going to focus on politics from a local perspective, because when you have local problems, you know, it's local politics usually involved. And that is, you know, a lot of us. And that's the vast majority of people do not participate in politics. But for those who do or have an interest in it, you know, you need to know how to navigate, know who's in power, what office or title they're holding, and what their so-called duties in the present system as it's set up, and what those are. So when you got problems, who do you go to for a face-to-face meeting to complain about? Who do you email? Who do you call? And what have you? And I think I discovered an instance of corruption here in the local area that I live in. I live in what's known as U.S. District or North Carolina District 10, which North Carolina just redrew the maps and what have you. So now it's a whole bunch of people running for office, scrambling for this guy's seat who I have long had a problem with, his points of view and whatnot that are expressed through his social media accounts. Again, we live in a technology age. All the information that you need is right there at the, your fingertips, literally in the palm of your hand. You know, I know there are some people who are afraid of technology, but technology is being used against you as a weapon. So, you know, we need a dedicated few to be able to use technology as a counter measure and what have you. But all this information, most, they say over a billion people on Facebook. Well, chances are your local representatives, like even your federal so-called representatives, and I say he's the representative over this district because I didn't vote for him. He doesn't represent me. We don't see eye to eye on 90% of the things that I've seen, come out from his office. You also subscribe to their newsletters, their YouTube channels. You know, it's not that hard to keep up and stay in the loop about what's going on. Because, again, I will stress that in the 9 areas defined by Mr. Neely Fuller, a counter racist writer, in those 9 areas, politics controls every other area. So we could call it the master area. That is where you're going to find the most white supremacy going on. So I want to share that with you personally. But before I get into that, I do want to go over some of the news feeds. Will not be on air today for 2 hours unless we have some phone calls, because this is also an opportunity for people to present their pros and cons. If they have any questions, any observations, more than happy to answer them to the best of my ability. I think experience is the best teacher, so I can tell you what my experience has been and what have you. Also do want to announce and keep announcing that we do have a new fundraising campaign, and this will be an ongoing campaign to fund Black Talk Media Project and its activities in black media. If you go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, you will see there is a new page that has been updated if you have visited, but it was just updated minutes before I came on air. I made the last, but you'll see a tab in the light background for the menus. Okay, you'll see crowdfund black media. When you click on there, that will take you to our crowdfunding campaign. This is going to be ongoing because the goal for the budget of Black Talk Media Project to support all of its activities is $200,000 per year. Now, you might think that that's a lot. Well, no, when you look at the, 6 media giants and what their budget is for producing their propaganda and what have you, and you really can't say there's any independent black media. There's a string of, I say Kathy Hughes does own, I don't know if she's still the majority owner, but she is the only independent black radio owner that's still, maintaining. But all the other ones, gone. They're gone. So, and there are reasons for this. So, definitely you can find out a whole lot more information. I shared a couple of infographics of the media consolidation. The illusion of choice. Media has never been more consolidated. 6 media giants now controlling a staggering 90% of what we read, watch, or listen to. And this just did not happen overnight. As I point to on the crowdfunding page, the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which marked its 20th year in existence, passed by a Republican Congress and signed into law by Bill Clinton, the Clinton administration. And so we call it the Clinton 1996 Telecommunication Act. And what that did was allow black media corporations to, whereas before they were restricted to only being able to own 2 stations in any market, the way radio is divided up. It's divided up into regional areas because it began with terrestrial radio. And they still got a lot of money invested in terrestrial radio, even though trends are moving to digital radio. But based on the strength of that signal, meaning how many miles can it reach, there's a radio station here in North Carolina. They reach all the way down to Florida and what have you. So they base those on regions. They call those markets, those regions, markets. And so, advertisement companies, they pour in a certain amount of money in these regions that they want to influence to buy their products and what have you. They run these ad campaigns. So where you had that restriction before, now, you have these big corporations like Clear Channel, for example. They own the most stations in the United States. All right. And so after the passage of the 1996 Telecommunications Act, by a Republican Congress working with the Democrats. It was bipartisan bill. Ain't no sense of us playing that game and blaming Republicans or Democrats. It was all of them together, working together. But when they passed that, that allowed the big media corporations to own up to 8 radio stations in the local media market. So let's use Charlotte, North Carolina, for example. I think their population is somewhere around 1 million people. All right. So let's say, you know, we had a country station, we had an R&B station, we had a jazz station, we had a talk station, we had a gospel station. Let's say those 5 stations are owned by individual media owners, okay? All right, and since that's primarily black, that's going to be your target market right there. So you're going to produce a whole lot of black media based on, you know, the demographics of that area. So now all these individual businesses are only able to own 1, you know, radio station. So now, after the passage of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, a corporation like Clear Channel can come in and they can and open up immediately 8 stations, which is going, and they could just duplicate whatever your programming is or whatnot and find people, you know, to work for them and what have you. And so now they're getting the biggest chunk of the advertisement revenue that corporations are, you know, pouring into their campaign, their regional ad campaigns and what have you. So that's starving out the independently owned media. So that is where we are now. That's why 90% of what we read, watch, and listen to is being produced and owned by white, what I would call white supremacists, because we're talking about powerful white people. Of course, they got a couple of proxy races in there, like Viacom now has Bob Johnson, Robert Johnson, who founded with his wife BET, Black Entertainment Television, and before he sold it for like $1 billion to Viacom and got a seat on the board. He got a good deal for himself, but, you know, even his wife now, I forget her name, even his wife now talks about the damage that it did to us culturally, did to young people culturally, some would even say morally, you know, because it's called programming. What is it programming? It's programming whoever reading, watching, or listening. So if they want to program certain behavior, then they just run television shows that promote that type of behavior. It's not rocket science. It doesn't take 2 or 3 degrees to understand it. I mean, it's just simple science. And so that's where we are, and that is why, you know, we as people need to invest in independent black media. And Black Talk Media Project has been doing that since launching the platform Black Talk Radio Network and this radio station Black Talk Radio in 2008. So lots of important information there that you will find. We will open up your eyes. So that's our goal, is 200,000 per year. If we fall short of that, we just work with what we do get. And we do appreciate those who do donate. And also want to announce, you know, now as a gift to those who donate at least one time $25, or they want to become one of the subscribers of at least $25 a month. We have these new t-shirts that will be available today. Finalize that today, so the shirts will be ready next week. And that's the Black Radio Stations Matter t-shirt with BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com and lettering below that logo. My daughter said it was best to choose that instead of, you know, using the Black Talk Radio logo, which we will bring out later on a t-shirt. But she said, because, you know, black radio stations is not just about us, it's about all of black radio, you know, and we are a nonprofit. We started as a nonprofit to help black people create, learn the new technology, know how to do some of these things yourselves, take advantage of what's out there that you don't have to pay for, you know. Like Sun Tzu said, you know, if you can use your your enemy's resources, you have doubled your own. So, you know, we've tried to provide that guidance, and I think we've done a pretty good job. As you can see, there's a number of podcasters and independent black media radio station owners on the platform Black Talk Radio Network. So we hope you will support the campaign, and also those who are already $25 a month subscribers, you will get those, or I should say contributors. You will get those t-shirts. I will be contacting you for your shipping address. We certainly look at you as the backbone of our day-to-day operations, of being able to meet, you know, our increased costs as we reach more and more people. So please go check out that page. It's blacktalkradionetwork.com/crowdfundingdigitalblackmedia. All right, so take a station identification break, a short message music break, and then when we come back, we're going to, you know, politics, talk about politics, because there are so many lessons to learn from this one example that I'm going to use with the congressman over the district that I live in, but he doesn't represent me. And he's cut a deal, apparently, behind the scenes with Belmont Abbey College, his alma mater, which is a private college, which also does not pay taxes because it's also a abbey, a Catholic church abbey or something. So, you know, they're not paying taxes as a nonprofit, but they are a private college. And he announced this Capital and Carolina internship program that is very, very suspect. And want to take a look at that. Have asked him some questions, sent him emails personally. I usually give him a week to respond. It's only been about 2 days, but I do want to use this as an opportunity, you know, to perhaps provide an example of how politics work. And, you know, if we're going to participate in any area, like I've said before, we need to be grooming young people for these positions in the system, pending replacing that system with something else, something better, something more just. But until then, as some revolutionaries say, pending revolution, we cannot be slack in any area. And even if it's for intelligence gathering purposes, just to know what's going on the battlefield out there, as we say, behind these enemy lines, we need to be paying attention. It's that simple, and knowing how to play the game and, you know, training up our children to go into these things as they are doing here, while denying people based on, I would say, social economic conditions. They are going to a public college. Perhaps they can't afford, you know, to pay for what's associated with the internship. So, yeah, I'll go get into the details and talk about that again. If you have any questions, any observations, any pros and cons you want to discuss about the People Activity Area Number 9, politics, you can give us a call. Studio lines are open, 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. That participant code is 549032 pound, and hit star 6 and 1 to signal the host. Of course, you can also use that web-based flash phone. So we'll talk about those things on the other side.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
See, America, in terms of where she goes and, you know, like, who she controls, the whole sphere of influence is diminishing. America is fighting on about 5 or 6 different fronts right now. Latin America, you know, like Africa, Middle East, and Vietnam, and here domestically. So I think that, you know, given the system and given that it operates off the military-industrial complex, which means that war is profitable and that, you know, like General Steel, USS Steel must make steel for tanks to hire people, you know, to give people jobs so they can spend the money to buy other goods. The very fact that the system operates off that principle means that when the man comes back, when the man is run out of every country, then it will become necessary to wage war in his own country.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, white power press, white people's paper, and white people's power, are enemies against black people. Now, what the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
And welcome back. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on this Thursday afternoon. Yeah, Thursday afternoon. Sound like I wasn't too sure about that, man. I tell you, after Wednesday nights, because I do a lot of broadcasting, like live broadcasting, 8 hours straight. Sometimes, you know, I forget what day it is. That workload be so heavy. But moving on, speaking of t-shirts, before I move on, and this also, you know, coincides with today's topic, and that's politics and what have you. I got my t-shirt today from IamOneOfTheMillion.com. IamOneOfTheMillion.com as I joined the Black Political Movement, Independent Movement in the People Activity Area of Politics. IamOneOfTheMillion. Black voters and contributors. Got my t-shirt today. Look good. But how are we going to fund this movement? Well, with these t-shirts and what have you, looking for 1 million members to become a part of that, just a $20 annual contribution, you get a t-shirt. So if we get 1 million black voters, you can go to the website, read the planks and what have you, get 1 million of those registered. Well, look, that's what? That's at least $15 million a year that you have for your conference, for pushing legislation, whatever state, paying for referendums, you know, maneuvering behind these enemy lines. That take money and what have you. So on my shirt, it said that I'm one of the first 100,000. So 10th of a way there to 1 million. Okay, I'm one of the 100,000 trying to become one of the 1 million. So if you are independent minded black person who do participate in politics, go to the website IamOneOfTheMillion.com. Become a member. Go ahead and get your shirt. That's your annual membership. To pay for, you know, this movement so it could be independent. Because, you know, without money, you got to get people talk about Al Sharpton, any of these established, let's just call them the establishment media, Don Lemon, Joy Reid, any of these people, Melissa Harris Perry gone now because, you know, she didn't want to play ball in a certain area and not really recognizing who runs the plantation. And so she got kicked to the curb off of MSNBC. So, you know, it takes money. It takes money in order to, control anything in whatever area you're working in, and it's no different in politics. People talk about Al Sharpton and his politics, or Jesse Jackson and his politics. Well, when you look at where they're getting the bulk of their funding from, let's take National Action Network, and they're getting money from the banks, you know, like Wells Fargo, Bank of America, these electric companies, what, you know, name a corporation. name a corporation. And so, you know, they not going to push too hard on certain issues and whatnot. That's what Byron Allen was talking about in his lawsuit that I think it was AT&T settled with him. It was one of them big, and he sued them because they wasn't, you know, spending no ad money on independently owned black media companies. And Byron Allen is no militant dude or nothing like that. You know, he produced like entertainment shows and what have you, and how-to shows like cooking shows, these court TV shows, things like that. But you know, his law, and he said Al Sharpton and them was taking money from these corporations not to speak out, you know, on this discrimination and how you distribute in the wealth and what have you. And so it take money. Same with our media operations. Same with, you know, if you're going to create a black political lobbying group like I am, a 1 million black contributors or 1 million black voters and contributors, it take money. And we know that we be spending a lot of money, you know, on frivolous things and what have you, those impulse items that they sit right in front of you at the cash register when you checking out the store, you know, just impulse items. So, you know, let's not say the wealth is there, or let's say the funds, I wouldn't call it wealth, but let's say the funds are there, you know, to build these very necessary tools that we need if we're going to compete, even, you know, try to do for ourselves in the system as it is, and then also being prepared for a new system. I was listening to the Dr. John Henry Clark the other day. We run this lecture that he gave, and, you know, he was talking about, is the Negro prepared for the 21st century? Well, we in the 21st century. You know, if we don't even know how to, you know, like he was talking about, operate in the different areas of people activity, then, you know, you ain't prepared. You ain't prepared for independence or whatnot. So definitely wanted to give a shout out to, again, the website is IamOneOfTheMillion.com. So let me go ahead and pull up this press release from Congressman Patrick McHenry. And I follow him on Facebook, and that's where I first heard about it. And I asked him on Facebook, or his staff, and I'm sure they relayed the message to him, that, you know, this program is all well and good, this internship for your alma mater, Belmont Abbey College, this private university right here in Mount Holly, this, you know, Catholic school and what have you. The only black people that go there is on the basketball team. And I'm saying that because when I was a teenager, I used to go up there during the summer and play basketball in a gym from time to time. And, you know, I played in the rec league against their team. And that's all the black people I seen at Belmont Abbey. In fact, the picture that Mr. McHenry provides, it's all white students. You know, the promo where he's pushing this Capital and Carolina internship promo, all white students. Again, this is a private university. Most of these students come from out of the county of North Carolina. Indeed, they do come from out of state. And so, you know, just to keep it short, what this is an internship. All right. Everybody know what an internship, right? That is where students get to, in this instance, come to his office and work as an aide and learn from the other aides and interact with him and learn how the people activity of politics work, the grind of it, the everyday minutia of it, you know. And so anyway, he announces this program for Belmont Abbey students. This I'm reading from his press release. Program for Abbey students includes internships in both Gastonia and Washington. Now, I didn't have a problem with that, except for there are other colleges here in this very county that I live in, like Gaston College, which I took some classes Gaston College. Some of my cousins have gone there and gotten degrees in like refrigerating and electrician, and you know, it's a good community college, teaching real skills. You can go there and get degrees in communications. Got a terrestrial radio station that, you know, students run and what have you. So it's a nice little community college and what have you. It's a public community college. So why shouldn't it be open to them, this internship, or what? You know, and I know that the per capita income of the students, the families of the students that have to go to Gaston College, I shouldn't say have to go to Gaston College, but because of their limited funds of their family, they go there, you know, and work and still pursue a higher education, a college education. You know, at a community college, and but I'm sure if their families could afford, they probably wouldn't send them to Belmont Abbey, but they would probably send them to Duke University, North Carolina University, UNC, North Carolina State. That's a public college and whatnot. They would probably send them there, but they don't have the funds. All right, so it wasn't even in the initial announcement on Facebook. It wasn't even open to the Gaston College students, all right, here in Gaston County, North Carolina. So I wrote, I brought these things up in the comment section on his original post, all right. So I expect them, they don't never reply, but other, you know, constituents, you know, we interact with each other and whatnot. So anyway, they must have read it. I'm sure they read it. You know, they have staff that's, I'm sure, just dedicated to their social media accounts and relay, you know, things that might be a problem, you know, that's being brought up. So anyway, then I see another press release, but this one comes to my email because I'm subscribed to his email newsletter and all in different updates that he on YouTube and everything. And so now I see, oh, now you're opening it up to other students, right? So I didn't see, this wasn't in the initial announcement. They don't mention Gaston, you know, other, you know, schools, colleges, universities. This is specific to Belmont Abbey. So now he has a separate internship program, it looks like, for if students here in Gaston County going to Gaston College want to be his intern, they can do that. But here's the difference, people. The students at Belmont Abbey, whether they're going to Gastonia, which is nothing but 5 miles up the road from us, so, you know, or they went to Washington, D.C. Mr. McHenry in his press statement says that his office is going to pay for it. So, wait a minute. His office belongs to the taxpayer, so who's paying for this? Who is paying for this subsidy for this private college and university that is probably like 95%, you know, affluent white kids and what have you. Now, they also announced that, you know, again, this is in partnership with this private church college. So this is in partnership. So he mentions in there that there was also like Belmont Abbey will waive the tuition fee. And I'm like, what's the tuition fee? You know, are they like saying this is a class or what have you? Or is Belmont Abbey turning this into a class and they going to waive the tuition for Belmont Abbey students and what have you? I still haven't, again, you know, I give them a week. I did ask them about that. So, you know, and how much were they charging for this fee that they're waiving? That then taxpayer funds are going to be used to subsidize these Belmont Abbey students' travel to his office in Gastonia and to his office in Washington, D.C. Now, I have questions about that. That does not seem like that's ethical. I'm not sure, and I'm boning up on it. But it just doesn't seem right to me. Seems like there's some conflict of image, and it seemed like, you know, a good old boy trying to throw a bone to his local college that he went to and what have you, and provide them, you know, special privileges and what have you, and opportunities that you wasn't providing for everyone else, other students here in this county. I mean, if taxpayer money is being used, then I, you know, I think that it should only be paying for students going to public universities where, you know, their parents on average wouldn't be able to afford that. So I have many questions, but see, again, this is something that I've talked about in the past. And then, oh, before I forget, they did, like I mentioned, later came up with this separate end. So I don't know if they're going to have two interns, one from Belmont Abbey, who's guaranteed this slot, and then an additional intern that we just going to take from everybody else, not specific to anybody else. But in this other one that we just created, possibly because one of the people, voters in this district, pointed out some things that look pretty questionable, so we're going to open up this other one over here. But we're not going to subsidize it. See what I'm saying? How is that, quote unquote, fair? That doesn't seem right to me. Seems that both set of students should have their travel, get paid their per diem to be in this internship program, which, you know, run, one of them looks like it runs through the summer. Let me just share with you from this press release. This one was issued on March the 29th. Congressman Patrick McHenry joined with Belmont Abbey College to announce the creation of the Capital and Carolina internship. This new internship program aims to provide Belmont Abbey students with the opportunity to intern in both McHenry's Washington, D.C. and Gastonia offices. The internship program will begin this summer. So, this again is what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about we not training up our young people on in how to engage the system and run for these offices and learn from these white people on how they practicing white supremacy, you know, in through an internship program. That is how you learn how things work. But these are children that you have raised to have ethics and morals and whatnot, and they're going in with the understanding that, you know, you're going there to learn how it works, and we're grooming you to one day take over that office. And then you will be the district representative to the corporation, USA Inc., for this community. That's looking at the long view of how we're going to engage the system. We should be doing other things. We should be preparing in all the other areas because, hey, if one day the United States Empire collapses, USA Inc. gets dissolved, then we need to have people skilled in every other area, people activity to build new nations and what have you, or build a new nation, however it comes down. So it's not really wasting your time to engage in the people activity area of politics and learning how it works because, you know, we're in a war and you have to have pieces on the battlefield. You have to have them. You have to practice. Let's call it insurgent politics. You don't even have to go in there as an intern with an obvious agenda. Don't wear your Black Lives Matter shirt. Let them think you one of them, you know, Democrats or Republicans, and you know, you just a party line, and you know, you ain't got no other agenda because you are not going in there to call bring attention to yourself. You going in there to learn the real deal, because when they know you have an agenda, then they will, you know, be very selective about what they share when you around. So, you know, you just got to be a double agent. That's the most simplest way I can come term I can think of to describe it. But these are things that are going on that we're paying for as taxpayers, whether you own property or not. If you're renting from somebody, you're paying their property taxes. That's included in the rent. You got to know that, right? Maintenance fees and all that other kind of stuff. So everybody paying taxes, regardless if they are quote unquote homeowner or not. Even homeless people pay taxes when they go into whatever fast food joint because they was able to scrape up a dollar and get six nuggets so that they could survive. I mean, it's people starving like that, in poverty like that. So, you know, let me continue. Congressman McHenry would join with Belmont Abbey President Dr. William K. Thierfelder to formally launch the internship this Wednesday, March 30th at 9 a.m. The event will be open to the media and will take place at the Alumni House on Belmont Abbey's campus located at 100 Belmont, Mount Holly Road in Belmont. Having spent time as a congressional intern, I know firsthand how the experience can shape one's interest in public policy and service to our nation, said Congressman McHenry. So see, somebody trained him up when he was in college and whatnot. Probably targeted him when he was in high school. White people do that. For the most part, black people don't. And that's something we're going to have to develop under the I am one of the million black voters, conscious black voters. Y'all forgive me if I'm not getting the acronym correct, but go to IamOneOfTheMillion.com. This is something we're going to have to develop. We have to be training these kids in law, in how to pass law, in debating, and you know, again, all of this is pending. Whatever's going to happen, if the U.S. empire crumble, well, at least we'll have some leaders ready to step into the role of starting a new nation. If it lasts for another 100 years, well, we're getting our people in there so we can bring some relief, or perhaps take it over and turn this thing around and make it a true nation that's based on respect for human rights and not practicing slavery and all the evil things that they are practicing against the people. So this is how he was trained up to be a congressman. He just didn't come out of nowhere. In high school, he probably had this dream. Then people in power, in the people activity of politics, say, oh, this guy right here is the future. Let me invest some time in him, give him an internship program. And then when I'm ready to retire, he can step into my seat and what have you. And keep the right-wing agenda, you know, going in Washington, D.C. The opportunity to extend this same experience to current and future students at my alma mater is a truly great honor. I'd like to thank Dr. Thierfelder, Dr. Williams, and everyone at the Abbey for making it possible. So you can go and read the rest of this. I will include this in the podcast that will be posted later. It goes on to talk about some more things. So I sent him an email again. No, I was on Facebook. He issued another press release, so I went and read that one. As you saw here in the initial one, they ain't mentioned nothing about no other schools, no other classes, and what have you. This particular press release doesn't have the details, but I do have those details. And like I said, it went into more details about how it's going to be paid for. He said his office was going to, you know, pay for it. Then later, after being confronted about all this white privilege you extending to the Belmont Abbey students, you come out with this other intern. I mean, it just sounds like it's not equal, doesn't it? The other. Yeah, we those others, right? It's not equal. We're not going to pay for your children to travel back and forth to Washington, D.C. and see how these corporate officers to USA Inc. is moving behind, you know, closed doors, and how things are getting done, and how do you shove through, you know, a 13th Amendment to the 13th Amendment to remove the slavery exception clause that permits them to continue to practice slavery. How do you do that? Again, all of this is pinned in something new. But yeah, I mean, it just doesn't even, this is intended discrimination. So I'm still waiting on Mr. McHenry or a member of his staff to get back in touch with me again. I will give them about another 4 days, and if I don't hear back, then I'll have to call the office and make arrangements further from there. Because, you know, again, I'm not saying he's broken any ethics rules in the Congress or anything like that, because I don't know. I had to read up on the ethics rules and what have you. But it just, if it don't look right, it has to be questioned. And my question is how can such a program be legal except under or through a system that is practicing racism? We can even say economic discrimination against all these poor white people that's on, you know, food assistance, using a social safety net, because they have to, and, you know, their kids is in the local community college. I'm sure that, you know, they would also be for giving this opportunity to their children. So it's not always about a black or white thing, even if it is a black and white thing. It's not just inequitable. So, yeah, it just doesn't seem that you should be using taxpayers' money from the federal government, because that's what, indeed, your office, you get a budget. And then you're using that money to subsidize these children at these at this private institution, and waiving all kind of fees for them. And I mean, again, I actually applied or went through the process or did an inquiry when I got out the military, because I was still rather young, was going to continue to play basketball. They coach knew me, but when I looked at, you know, my little old GI Bill is not going to pay this tuition. So I'm going to have to go the community college route. You know, their tuition is pretty high, and I'm sure it's higher than when I applied back in, when was that, 93? So I'm sure it's probably much higher now. I'm sure Belmont Abbey, maybe even the president himself of the college can, and the board members can pay this out. They, you know, pocket change to them for these one or two. Well, it's just going to be one intern. Y'all can feed them and put them up in the hotel and all that without using federal taxpayer funds. So I'm doing this investigation, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. And once I get the details and finish my research, I definitely will be sharing my findings with the local media. But again, this is how corruption happens. This is how things, how privilege, so-called privilege happen. Because we are not getting the right information. We don't know where to plug into the information. We don't know how to analyze the information that we're getting. And then, you know, we just sit back. Even if we do have the information, then we just sit back and we don't say anything and just let these people just practice injustice. In what universe do you have where you will have, you know, something that has no opposition? How are you going to stop it from perpetuating itself through the eons? If there's nothing opposing it, there's not even an equal force opposing it to keep it somewhere, you know, on the battle line in the middle somewhere. You know, it's a tug of war So if there's no opposition, then it's just, man, shit, 200 more years of racism and, you know, institutionalized racism, economic disparities, slavery, because that's the root cause of it all, is slavery. So, again, like I stated, it was only going to stay on air today about an hour as I continue, you know, to work behind the scenes to try to do a better job at crowdfunding Black media so that we can expand and offer other people opportunities and what have you. Because we can't be going with our hats in our hands to these white supremacist dominated organizations and saying, please give me, you know, $20,000 for a year for a budget or something like that. And, you know, no, we shouldn't have to do that. If we have to do that, then we are not independent Black media. So, cannot be going, getting money from Wachovia, General Electric, all of these corporations that make up the system that's working with the Corporation USA Inc. to screw all the people. So, yeah, looking forward to hearing from Mr. McHenry. As I stated, they just redrew this district. Looks like about 7 people running for the office. Couple of libertarians in there. If I had been thinking about it, and I'm not prepared because I'm so swamped right now. But like I stated, I'm going to give it one more election season and I might throw my ring in the hat. If not for federal office, for state office. Got to practice what you preach. But definitely there's some information that I think his competitors coming up will be interested in using against him. Because this is, you know, to me, this is like that. It's just graft, man. It's just so corrupt, man. This, you know, again, points to, although on a smaller scale, this points to what Hillary Clinton and John McCain being called out for now with their nonprofits. You know, Bill Clinton and Chelsea over there at the Clinton Foundation taking huge donations from countries that have, you know, deals that's being negotiated for weapons. While he at the State Department, while Hillary running it, and then he want to talk about an accident. Look, an accident is one time, even though you don't make a $500,000 accident. But when it happens 2, 3, 4, 5 times, people can point to instances of huge donations from countries that had deals before the State Department that ultimately got approved. That's not an accident. That's a design. That was by design. Same thing with John McCain, as we talked about the other day, taking the $1 million from, you know, the McCain Institute, which he claims he has no ties to, is just honorary. It just bears my name and all this. But he's fundraising, I found, for this organization that he started with the money left over from his failed 2008 presidential campaign. $8 million, start the McCain Institute, turn it over to people who was running your campaign, set them up with $100,000 a year, 6 figures or more, salaries and whatnot, and then, you know, have debates. And his is at Arizona State University. Again, all of these politicians don't just grow on trees. They are made. They identify these children at very early ages and they groom them to be part of the establishment. The most oppressed people are not engaging the system in that way, because that's the only way. I mean, if you want to talk about really changing something from the inside, well, if these Black politicians ain't coming from, let's say, you know, 1 million conscious Black voters and contributors in the different state chapters, you know, that are popping up and we're not grooming these children, then, you know, they part of the establishment. Just because they black don't mean they got a black agenda. They don't. As we see, you know, we see that time and time again. But John McCain, you know, Saudi Arabia gives him $1 million donation. Oh, I shouldn't say gave it to him. Gave it to the nonprofit that bears his name that he claimed he ain't got no ties to, even though I was able to uncover photographs of him hosting a debate on the U.S.-Iran nuclear agreement that the Obama administration was negotiating. Here's McCain at the podium with McCain Institute on it. And he's the moderator for this debate, which is really just this whole elaborate scheme to undermine a sitting president's negotiation with a foreign nation. John McCain do stuff like that. And I think it's illegal, just like he traveled to Syria, and that's how he was able to be photographed meeting with some of these Islamic terrorists and what have you. But he doesn't have any ties to it and what have you. And then they were bringing in student Hillary Clinton, gave a little speech. I don't know. We can ask John McCain how much he paid. I forgot. John McCain don't run the McCain Institute. We can contact the McCain Institute and ask them, how much did you pay Hillary to come to speak to young people at the McCain Institute? A global leadership. Man, I visited that website. First thing that jumped out at me was all the young people from overseas, primarily people of color from Africa, going through the McCain Institute program of leadership. And I was like, damn, this is how they make them proxy races in Africa, running these kind of programs. Now, see, when Malcolm started and Dr. John Henry Clark and them started, what was it, the Organization for African American Unity? Sorry if I didn't get it right. But those were the type of programs he was talking about establishing, black people establishing with people in Africa. Here we got a racist white supremacist, war criminal, like Insane McCain, quote unquote, educate. No, we'll just say programming these young black minds in Africa in the people activity area of politics. The information is right there. It's right at your fingertips. It's right in front of your face. It's not really going to be on your TV because, again, as I stated in promoting the black crowdfunding campaign that the Black Talk Media Project is running, 90% of what you view, read, or listen to is through six corporations run by white supremacists. So these are not the type of questions that'll be asked. They will only be asked by independent media. So I see we didn't have any questions, any pros or cons or anything like that. Feel free to shoot me an email. Y'all know how to get at me. BlackTalkRadioBaby@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you have any comments about what we discussed today, if you listen to it later on the podcast, leave it in the comment section on the podcast and I'll bring it up the next time we are on air, which, God willing, will be tomorrow, Friday, April the 8th, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on a Friday afternoon right here on your digital radio station. New Black Media for the New Millennium, Black Talk Radio. Recognize the fact that we do live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there in every way. We need to be training. We need to be putting assets in place. We need to be acting like we in a war. What is the war for? Well, the war for is simply for a system that's based on justice. It's that simple. A system that doesn't practice slavery. It's that simple. So in order to achieve that goal, we have to, engage in battlefield activities. So until something better is established, you do need to survive behind these enemy lines, and that is where codification can come in handy. Being aware of your surroundings. Learning how to move behind the enemy lines without drawing too much attention to yourself. Learn to ask questions, because that's how you gather intelligence. So codification helps. And most of all, operate behind enemy lines with common sense. Don't do things that you know puts you at risk of being captured or killed by these slave catchers out there. No, don't speed. You know the speed limit is 35. Don't do 50. If it's 65, don't do 90. No, you're supposed to wear a seatbelt. Wear a seatbelt. Use a signal. Don't do rolling stops, as they say. When you come to a stop sign and you just, tap on the brakes and you keep rolling, you look both ways, and then you take off. It's people sitting around waiting on you to do stuff like that so they could take money out of your pocket. And anytime there's an interaction with people like that, things can and often do escalate. You don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. So, again, make sure y'all stay tuned, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Tando Radio Show will be on air with a live program, and then they'll be followed at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with a broadcast of Blacks in Business Radio, a new program on the network. They've done about a month they've been on air. So for those business-minded peoples, again, we got to be active in every activity area. We got to be learning how things work, how things are done. Then we could be innovators. We can become creative and bend these things to work for us. So make sure you tell people about Black Talk Radio as a network, helping people establish their independent black radio stations, podcasting services available as well. And as you can see, we have several existing stations that you could check out. All right, so peace and blessings to all. Hopefully, we'll be talking to you tomorrow.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. I have the pleasure of not introducing who I believe is one of the baddest motherfuckers in the world. A man that did something that a lot of us ought to be very glad that he did. He was a part of making the only party which exists in the United States today